All right, we're going to go ahead and get started with this committee hearing. This is the Thursday, February 22nd, 2007 meeting of the Transit Finance Subdivision. We don't have a quorum yet, but I'm optimistic that we will. And but in the meantime, we can proceed with the presentation. We're hearing Senate File 614 by Senator Pappas dealing with the Minneapolis-St. Paul Central Corridor Transitway.
Thank you very
Senator
much,
Pappas.
Mr. Chairman. I do have an amendment, the A1 amendment, at the appropriate time to offer. But in the meantime, we can talk a little bit about the Central Corridor, and we're very excited to finally be here all on the same page after watching others pass us by to be the next light rail corridor that the state will commit to build and the region will commit to build. It'll be 11 miles, and it'll link St. Paul's downtown Union Depot multimodal transit hub to the Hiawatha light rail in downtown Minneapolis. The corridor connects many major Twin Cities destinations, the two downtowns, the University of Minnesota, St. Paul's Midway Commercial District, and the state capitol. At the Union Depot, passengers will be able to transfer to local and inner-city buses, to the Rush Line and Red Rock commuter rail trains, to Amtrak passenger trains, and eventually Midwest high-speed rail from Chicago. So it's an incredibly exciting project. The Central Corridor will have 16 new light rail stations and share 5 existing stations with the Hiawatha Line in Minneapolis. Station number and location is subject to change during preliminary engineering, and major issues to be decided include during preliminary engineering include accessibility, traffic signals, vehicle and pedestrian safety, construction mitigation, and parking in the corridor. Preliminary engineering will be $45 million, and that is set to begin this spring and will last about 2 years. Final design of $38 million will begin in 2009 and take about a year. Construction will begin in 2010, with service beginning in 2014. So that seems so far out. If I could cut that in half, I would. But, you know, time flies. The Central Corridor light rail line is projected to provide 43,270 rides a day by 2030. The corridor is home to 120,000 people and 280,000 jobs. By 2030, the number of jobs in the corridor is expected to grow to 345,000. The experience with the Hiawatha light rail line, 28,100 weekday riders on average, exceeding the 2020 projections, gives the Central Corridor project partners confidence in these projections. And on your handout, we list the collaborative partners. And with me today is one of the partners, Rafael Ortega from Ramsey County, and he has some comments for you. And we also, for those who haven't seen the simulation, I don't know if everyone's seen it, but if you have, we won't show it, but if you haven't, it's fun to see it.
I have not, Madam Chair. I'm anxious
then
to
we'll
see
show
it.
You the simulation.
All right. Welcome to the committee, Commissioner Ortega.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. As I've stated before when I testified, Ramsey County has been preparing for this moment for quite a while. We've levied appropriately over the past year, so we're prepared to put up our local share, both for capital and operating, which is significant, especially in operating 70%. We are also quite positioned to advocate, to continue to advocate not only at the state capitol but at the federal level to make sure that we get it built no later than 2014. It's taken long enough, and we're quite anxious to make sure that it doesn't go past that date. As I stated before, what is critical for this Ramsey County Board, because we feel that so much of the success of the line to the East Metro area is that it is connected to the Union Depot at the concourse level. That's where Amtrak and the Red Wing, the corridor from Red Wing, the commuter rail, and the Robert Street corridor, the Rush Line from Hinckley, all come together, giving the East Metro area the connectivity that it needs. Also, as we look down the future and we look to our suburbs to the east of us, and we look at the Woodburys, in the 94 corridor and the 36 corridor, the depot becomes critical to their success in the future. So at this point, I don't know if Kerry is testifying, but I'll allow Kerry to testify, then we could put on the video.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Bauman.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. I'm here speaking on behalf of the Central Corridor Partnership. For those of you unfamiliar with our organization, we are a business-led organization founded by the St. Paul Chamber with 10 of our larger corporations, both of our county entities and our city entities, the Midway and the Minneapolis Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber supports the bonding bill before you today. We believe that transit is not just about moving people from point A to point B, but it's also about economic development and growth, and the Central Corridor will provide that focus along University Avenue. We also believe the Central Corridor is the first link in an overall East Metro area transportation plan, and given the rate of growth, I would concur with Commissioner Ortega, not just to the Maplewoods, but also to the all the way to the border and to western Wisconsin, that it's important to get these type of infrastructures in place. So in conclusion, the Central Corridor Partnership supports this, and we hope you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Plowman. Senator Pappas.
I think we should show the simulation.
Thank you. I'm Steve Morris with the Rancho County Regional Railroad Authority. The authority a couple of years ago had this simulation developed that shows how the pieces fit along University Avenue in the Central Corridor going east from approximately Pryor Avenue. We're so fortunate to have a 120-foot wide right-of-way in St. Paul along University Avenue. Partially we have that right-of-way because that not only used to be the main road between the two cities, but it was also a major streetcar line between the two cities. This is coming up along Fairview, where the Episcopal Homes has just recently gone in, and shows how station, in this case, a center platform station, would be located with access from the crosswalks, would be like the Hiawatha stations, low platform, accessible to people with wheelchairs, convenient for strollers and what have you. Also, the width allows us to have the light rail in both directions, but also two lanes of traffic in each direction, and we're required left turn lanes. But at a wide part where you have a station or left turn lanes, there's not adequate room for on-street parking. But as the train goes rather slowly with this computer around the curve and the tracks come back together, then again you have room for on-street parking as there is today. The lanes are narrower, but there are still two lanes in each direction. A very useful tool in working with the community because much of Hiawatha operates off to the side of the avenue, but this will operate more like Hiawatha does out on 34th Avenue in Bloomington, where it's operating with the traffic coordinated with traffic signals.
Thank you. Does the train go around the corner slowly because it takes more computer juice to go around the corner, or does it actually slow down around the corner?
Senator, I suspect if I got a little higher power computer, it could make it go a little faster.
I see. Okay.
The batteries are weak.
All right. Well, no, that's great. I've seen these simulations for a number of other proposed facilities, and they're a huge benefit when we have our community meetings because most people don't understand planimetrics, you know, the bird's eye view, of just lines and the like, so it really helps. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman and Senator Pappas, I heard the on-street parking argument made several times by more than one business owner. Are there plans to do more parking, a block back from university, or what's the parking situation going to look like?
Maybe Commissioner Ortega could answer that.
Commissioner Ortega.
You know, as far as my knowledge,
can you speak to it too?
The parking is a city policy, and we've had various discussions with them in terms of what that might be. at this point, they're going through a whole charade of with urban strategies regarding the urban development of each neighborhood. And I think within those plans, the issues of parking are being addressed in this new plan as it's unfolding. So I don't know what the current policy might be. Under the former administration, there was a certain policy. I'm not quite sure what the current policy is.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Plowman said he could address that as well.
Right. Why don't you come to the table and speak into the microphone.
Senator Steve Morris, as the commissioner said, the city is working on as two task forces actually looking at the future of the corridor, and one of the issues that they are looking at are ways to deal with parking for businesses and in neighborhoods and all those sorts of issues, both from the standpoint of some spaces would be lost, but also more activity might generate a need for more spaces and spots.
Senator Dibble, Senator Murphy.
Mr. Baum, Plowman.
The Metropolitan Council also has the Business Advisory Council, which I'm happy to report today the announcement was made who those individuals would be. I saw that before I left here. The Central Corridor Partnership will be facilitating that relationship, and one of the charges that we've received from that is parking, to ask the businesses themselves what are the ideas that they have, and then relay those to the other entities involved in the project. So to hear straight from, to use expression, horse's mouth.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Pappas,
maybe you could have the A1 amendment passed out. It really was as a result of a meeting that Senator Murphy convened with Congresswoman McCollum and conversations with, I think, comments that Senator Oberstar maybe made in your committee. That on the importance of the connection between the Central Corridor and the Union Depot. So we thought it might be important to put the language in this legislation.
Mr. Chairman, I would offer the A1 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Unfortunately, Mr. Transportation Chair, unfortunately, we have not yet achieved quorum. We're waiting for one more person. We're scouring
the building.
Yes. Yeah.
Chairman, it's a good thing I decided to come here instead of go to the education meeting tonight, then, huh?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Well, we promised to get these education committee members out of here fast. I thought they were going to come here first, but maybe they're having dinner at White Castle. I don't know. So we have to suspend for a moment on the amendment.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, when I offer it up on line 1.3, where it says the terminus to be located at the Union Depot, how about if we change at to in? So just remind me when we offer that up.
Change at to in.
But it basically says the city of Minneapolis and the city of St. Paul with the terminus to be located in the Union Depot Concourse Multimodal Transit Hub located in downtown St. Paul in the area of Kellogg Boulevard and east of Jackson Street.
Waiting for you for
a quorum is present. All right.
Great.
Senator Murphy offers the an amendment, or the well, first we take the amendment to the amendment. Senator Murphy substitutes the word in on line 1.3 for the word at. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Right. Senator Murphy offers the A1 amendment. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas is correct. We've not only have we had other discussions in this regard, but Congressman Oberstar, I think, was very clear about the need to have a transit hub located in the metropolitan area that works for everybody. Currently, we really don't have a transit hub. This is going to be, this is not going to be, Grand Central Station, but this is going to be the Union Depot, and this is going to be the kingpin that pins everything together in the metropolitan area. And, Mr. Chairman, I can't tell you how strongly I feel that this connection be made at the concourse level, not only for the viability of this line, but also Red Rock, Rush Line, everything that we've got going on. This is the big cojona for me right here. All right. I move the A1 amendment.
The A1 amendment is offered as an author's amendment. This is the bill's first hearing, and someone on the committee has to offer it. So it is an author's amendment offered as courtesy from Senator Murphy. This is the bill's first hearing in the Committee of Origin. All in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion passes. Senator Pappas, anything further?
I don't think so, unless there are any questions from members of the committee. I just can't tell you how important it is that we pass this legislation. And is your procedure then, Mr. Chair, we send a letter to the Capital Investment Committee process, or do you actually send bills through finance?
What is our...
I refuse to do the letter. I'll tell you my division. I just passed a bill to finance.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pappas, I believe that our committee, by consensus, will put a letter together and give it to Senator Langseth just because it's a little bit easier.
But in any case, we will take this bill and pass it and refer it to the full committee.
And the bills would be included with that, so we'd have the amendment.
Right.
Well.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Right. Yes.
That's what I want.
Senator
Mr. Olson. Chairman, I apologize that I was late and missed the presentation on it, but perhaps we'll get it at the full committee too?
Sure. I like hearing about this project. It excites me.
We can do that. Actually, we should bring back, if it's not too much trouble,
questions.
Yes, Senator Olson.
One, the alignment... crossing the river, and then the blue triangles. What's the tunnel? Oh, you're tunneling part of it there? And how are you getting across the river? With an existing bridge or a new one?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, that has not been determined yet. That would be determined in pre-engineering. The university is requesting a tunnel. I think the alternative would be an additional bridge. In both cases, they're expensive.
So, Mr. Chairman,
Morris,
I think Mr. Morris has some more information on that question.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, the stadium that's being built at the university will cause some realignment of the line in that area. The expectations are that it goes across on the Washington Avenue Bridge. On the existing bridge, and then enters a tunnel just on the east side of the bridge. That's the current alignment, but some modification will be required to accommodate the new stadium.
So, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Does that mean if you're crossing on the Washington Avenue Bridge, are you going to take away capacity for auto traffic there then?
Mr.
Morris?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, the traffic counts on the bridge across the bridge and to the west and to the east will work fine with one lane of traffic in each direction. Farther to the east, it becomes more of an issue. Just as when that bridge was closed down for a couple of years with single lanes in each direction, there's not a whole lot of traffic on that western portion. So, yes, that should work fine.
Further,
so,
Senator
Mr. Chairman,
Olson?
Another question is: what is the cost estimate for this? And with the amendment, what does that add to it?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator
Pappas. The handout passed out does have the total cost.
I think $930 million is.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas, is that in? Include the
tunnel?
The Murphy Amendment?
Does not include the Murphy Amendment.
Do you know how much that would add to it, or any idea?
Mr. Morris.
Mr. Chairman, not at this stage. We've done some very preliminary work, but there are some pieces that you might save out of that $932 million, so that still needs to be resolved in preliminary engineering.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, one part, the only part that concerns me about these lines is when well over 90% of the daily passenger trips are by vehicle. I don't think we ought to be taking away existing capacity for that form of transportation when we add this one. And to what extent is this line going to do that? Now, you're taking capacity on that bridge. Is that going to be true the whole corridor?
Mr. Morris.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, no, as I mentioned in the simulation, in most of the corridor, you continue to have two lanes in each direction. The traffic constraint, and I'm not a traffic engineer, so but having been told by traffic engineers, the constraint on Washington Avenue is not the bridge. The constraint is farther east in the Church Street area and where all the turning traffic is and things like that. One lane in each direction on the bridge is fine. It's the area to the east that constrains traffic there. So it's not a traffic issue in removing the lanes off the bridge, because that's not what limits the traffic on Washington Avenue.
So Mr. Chairman, are you saying that Washington Avenue through the campus will be closed to vehicle traffic then, if it's further constrained by the light rail going down Washington Avenue?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, no. The expectation now is that there is a tunnel there.
Oh, at that point?
Yes. So there's not there's
all right,
not a
okay.
constraint.
Thank you.
Right.
Mr.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman and members, here's kind of what we're fighting, and I think that this is what council is fighting too. They're fighting an artificial limit that is set by the federal government. Let me read you something here. This is their cost effectiveness index that was put in.
CEI.
Yeah. Let's see if you understand this, because I've read it 15 times and I still don't get it.
Okay.
In its evaluation of the cost effectiveness of a proposed project, FTA considers the incremental cost per hour of transportation system user benefits in the forecast year. This measure expressed in constant dollars. In constant base year dollars is based on the annualized total capital and annual operating cost divided by the forecast change in annual benefit users, comparing to the proposed project of the New Starts baseline alternative, blah, 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 blah. Now, if anybody understands what the FTA is up to here, I finally got it. They don't want to build transit. That's all there is to it, Senator Olson. And what the good congressman is going to do is he's going to change this because he can.
So, Mr. Chairman,
General.
I was just going to suggest that maybe you could give me a copy and I could put it under my pillow and see if I get it.
Well, it's like Somanex.
Senator Carlson.
Mr. Chair, and any one of the guests that can answer, first of all, I want to tell you that I want to see this done. I've ridden on public transit in many major cities around the world, and I think it's the right thing to do. However, most of them are underground. Do you have a feel for what it would take to not go on the surface on University Avenue, make every passenger has to cross traffic, every passenger has to wait for a walk signal? There's so many negatives to that, to being above ground.
Well, let Steve in.
Commissioner Ortega.
I share your same dream, but I think it's going to be prohibitive.
I just want to say something
Senator
before
Pat.
We hear from Mr. Morris, and that is light rail is not a subway. I mean, light rail is really designed to be pedestrian-friendly. And when you look at the Hiawatha line, I think it fits very well in an urban landscape. And with the number of stops that we need to have to accommodate the riders along the route, I think it would be very difficult to build it underground, besides cost prohibitive.
I see something I agree
Senator
with that. There
Trigo.
Are certain places, though, like Snelling University, where it might make sense because of the congestion of that intersection. Either the traffic has to go overhead or
the library
could go over.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mr. Morris.
Mr. Chairman, I think Senator Pappas and Commissioner Ortega basically answered the issue. Order of magnitude, people talk in terms of maybe as much as 10 times the capital construction cost, and a lot more disruption as well.
All right. Okay. Senator Saltzman.
What I find so exciting about the Union Depot is that as we look at the excitement in the East Metro suburban areas for transit, we have park and rides that as soon as we build them, they are filled up.
Yep.
And just as we've heard out in the Burnsville area and we've been hearing around the state, is that people are getting there as early as they can to get a parking spot. And so when I look at this and the potential for Union Depot to be that hub of where people come in from the East Metro area, and that there are the, you know, facilities there, it's just very, very exciting. So I look at this and just, I guess, also see the ability to bring people in from the East Metro and then to continue on to Minneapolis. So that's very exciting, and I'm just glad that we're having this hearing about this particular project.
Right. Thank you. Commissioner Ortega.
You know, it's not something that we at Ramsey County continue these opportunities to mention, but our vision also includes a bicycle facility. Mm-hmm. We had our dream, and we're planning to have showers and places and lockers and places to store your bike in, get on Amtrak or whatever. So it's really going to be multimodal in the sense that we're looking at a bicycle facility. And we also have a regional plan of adding another 43 miles, is it, to connecting all our regional trails and having a sort of central corridor trail. And having them connect to the depot.
Excellent.
Too. So it's about walking, it's about bicycling, it's about truly a multimodal transit hub.
It's an exciting vision. I see Mr. Shetnan from the Met Council looking like he wants to come forward.
I don't really want to.
Yeah, if someone could make room for Mr. Shetnan, that would be great. All right. Welcome to the committee.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Judd Shetnan, I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Metropolitan Council. Regarding the discussion here, I am in agreement with everybody in the room that the Central Corridor is a fantastic Tier 1 transitway that the Council has been working on with all of our partners that are here in the room. I advocate for this at every turn that I can. One of the things that I want to point out is that with the CEI, it's not very popular. We understand it's not popular. And I've talked to Senator Murphy about this many times, and I understand. And I was here when Congressman Overstar was making his remarks, which are very refreshing. However, we at the council are in the position where we have to deal with current law. And the way that the law stands right now is we have to do our work at the process of using the CEI. I apologize for having to come up and say this. I know it's not very popular. One of the things that we are looking at in our preliminary engineering right now is where the terminus of the line will be. There are a number of options. My hearing does not need to be checked. I'm very aware of what the committee and what the legislature would like us to do as far as the Union Depot. I'm very well aware of that. We have a corridor management committee that will be looking at these issues. I think that all of them will shake out during the process. One of the other things that I'd like to mention is that with the amendment that went on, it has the terminus ending at the concourse of the depot. It's one of the things that we'll be looking at in the preliminary engineering, or else the other one would be ending at 4th Street. We at the council would prefer it stay that way so we could look at it that way. I understand that Congresswoman McCollum has very strong feelings about that, and I appreciate those comments. My response to that is that we are looking at that, and I know I'm not very popular for having to say that, and I'm sorry, but that is where we're at on the process. So I know that Senator Murphy has got a question for me.
I would be more worried about Senator
Steven. Yes, and Mr. Chair and members, I have had these conversations with Senator Murphy and Senator Steven, and I know exactly where they're coming from.
I will only say that everything you said would be true, is true in the absence of those who lead the other branch of government doing anything about finding the resources that we need to build something like this on a timely basis. Senator Pappas earlier talked about how 2014 seems like a long time away, and if we talk about all the additional exciting rail lines that are envisioned for the metro area, you know, we're talking about much beyond 2014, and building the kind of rail lines that are worth doing. You know, we can build rail lines, but if we don't build them in ways that get people where they need to go, what's the point? And that's not going to happen in the absence of resources, and that's an option available to the administration. Mm-hmm. Senator Murphy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Shipman, I was going to try to change your last name to Lamb, first name sacrificial.
I appreciate that.
I understand. You know, we've had a lot of discussions, and the folks over at the Met Council know the direction that many people see for transit in the state of Minnesota, and not only with the Central Corridor, but with Red Rock and the 394 project and the 94 project out to Senator Saltzman's neck of the woods, and you know, all the other exciting things that are happening, Rush Line, I mean, the whole nine yards. Bottom line is this. We're the ones that are going to appropriate the money. And if that's true, and we are the elected people, not the Met Council, and if that's true and we're responsible to our taxpayers, then we're going to tell you, this is going to start at the concourse level.
Senator Stephen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I know that Commissioner Ortega also has some very strong feelings about this and has expressed those in various hearings, but I don't know how many times we need to say it to the Met Council that the support of many of us for your vision, whatever vision that is, sometimes I wonder, but what your vision is for transit in St. Paul is dependent on connection to the Union Depot. And I don't know how much more, you know, Senator Murphy said it very eloquently too, but it just needs to be made very clear to whomever are making these decisions, why even study not starting at the Union Depot when you're going to lose your support for the line from many of us if you don't start at the Union Depot. So talk about even studying it at 4th Street is a waste of taxpayer money.
Senator Murphy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Sieben, for putting the ball on the tee for me. That's exactly right. And for all the folks here from the Met Council, that's what we're talking about. You know, I'm looking at this map, and we've got Senator Metzen wants the Roberts Street. Senator Carlson, you've been talking about 35E or something coming up from that way. Senator Saltzman has a 94. Look at this map. You get the idea? Red Rock. It all comes right there to where it says Union Depot. Everything ends up right there. I mean, you know, we've got the vision of the Rush Line coming right down 35E. Imagine that ends up right at the Union Depot. I mean, I think the choice is clear, and the Met Council should join with us as a partner and attack the federal government for this nonsense. This is the paperwork for their little cost-effective index. Now, I've been all the way through here, and, you know, the old one kind of was tough to read, and, you know, it left a lot of things up for grabs. But this one, I don't know how any transit is being built any place in the United States if you got to put up with this trash. And that's exactly what it is. We're dealing with an administration, not your all's administration, I'm talking about the federal government, that doesn't want to build transit. We want to build transit because, Senator Olson, I understand your concern about displacing automobiles. But let's face facts. We can't continue to put people in the metropolitan area and build enough roads so that they all can drive. I think that we need to have other options so that when all these lines come here into one spot, they've got alternatives to go different places. And they don't have to drive.
Well, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I don't disagree with your the centralizing that the arrivals of the various entities. I think that's perfect. But I do, you know, when I hear the debates about subsidizing and how much it costs and all this, to take away, and when we've already invested in roads for the automobile, we ought not to be taking that. That ought to be added into the cost. That ought to be added into the cost of the transit then, if you're going to take away capacity from the roads. So that's all I'm saying. You know, if that means trying to find a slightly different path or whatever, fine. But don't reduce the investment. Don't rob us of hard. You know, it's tough enough to get the money for the roads, and we've got plenty of use, and that's not going to go away. We just dream on if you think that's going to disappear, but it's not. So that's why I don't want to see that lost. And it's, you know, there's parts of Hiawatha that used to be a really good shoot down to the airport when you were coming from the west, and most people don't bother with it anymore. And it's
don't
a
bother
shame.
With Hiawatha, Senator Olson. Mm-hmm. Have you driven it? It's
I was on it a couple blocks last night when I was went the scenic route from the Capitol over to 50th to Burroughs Elementary.
It's a pretty nice shot down to the airport in a car. It's, you know, it's a nice shot on the train, but the train has certainly taken nothing away from that road. I mean, that's
is there full capacity of Hiawatha?
Well, yeah, the train doesn't touch the Hiawatha.
And Mr. Chairman, I might add, you know, when I used to go up to the Metrodome and go to ball games when my kids were smaller, I'd always go Hiawatha because, you know, I was a little skittish about getting on 94 and all that. But after driving across and through that a few times, I decided 94 was a better route. And now it's different. I mean, you know, you can't get any place on 94 if you're going to go to a ball game because, you know, it always gets jammed up over here by this area that you're talking about. But if you go the other way, it's just fine. Plus, anymore, we drive over to Fort Snelling Park, get on the train, mm-hmm. and you know, it's kind of get on the bus and forget about Gus or whatever. You know, we just you forget about it. And you know, that's the wave of the future. And a lot of people down in my neck of the woods have figured it out that it's you know you can get on the light rail for a couple bucks. And you can get off at the ball game and have a couple burgers and a brat and maybe a couple beverages. And then you can hop on the train and get back down there. And you don't have to pay that $10 or $20 for parking. So you saved a little bit of scratch. You know, you got to ride on the train. It was an enjoyable experience. You know, this is the wave of the future. You know, as much as I like the transit and the options, you know, and I would like to see the Red Rock come down to Red Wing to give our constituents more access to some of the things that the people in the metropolitan area enjoy and sometimes take for granted. And someday that's going to happen. I just hope that you and I are still around to see the majority of it happening. And
we'll need it anymore, even more, because we won't be able to drive.
Exactly. You know, we're going to pack a million more people into the metropolitan area in about the next 15 to 20 years. I mean, boy, that's why I was asking about parking earlier along the corridor here, because there is some on-street parking that's going to have to be displaced in a couple places. And you know, some of the business owners there are concerned. But here's my comment to them. There's going to be And the congressman said this the other day, that every light rail project that's opened up in the United States has seen a threefold increase from their most rosiest rider projections. And that is going to bring business vitality to this corridor. And those shop owners who are worried about somebody that wants to park for 5 minutes in front of their shop and run in and pick up a pack of gum and then run out, they're not going to be able, they're going to have more cashiers. That's all there is to it. Because when the light rail train pulls up, and you can see it in downtown Minneapolis, the people pour out of it and they go right inside a building, and you know they're spending money. And, you know, these shop owners are going to be 15 years from now, they're going to be happy.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
So when you're doing that, I think it was kind of amusing to see how quick people figured out if you'd be cheap and save the parking down by the stadium and the high price tags. It probably brought the price of parking down for everybody else was down there too. But when you're doing that route, if the hot dogs and stuff would get boring at the Metrodome, stop at 50th. Right at that station there is Cap's Barbecue, and that's run by a high school classmate of mine, and it's great.
It is
really
excellent.
Yes,
excellent barbecue.
So,
Senator Dibble,
excuse the commercial.
Senator Olson, at the recommendation of Senator Dibble, who's very familiar with that place, I took a group of Midwestern legislators there a couple years ago for dinner.
How about
it was very good.
Can I make a comment?
They took the light rail there for the Mall of America.
Was 2 summers ago?
Yeah. I think
that's two summers
ago.
Chairman, he was apprehensive about the station and concerned about that, and now he realizes it's end up being a gold mine for him.
Chairman, as much as I enjoy it, I actually have to be somewhere pretty soon in the suburbs. I have to drive there. So we do have to wrap up fairly quickly. I have Commissioner Ortega,
I just want to say that the entire Ramsey County Board took a ride to Bloomington, met with the mayor of Bloomington to look at their development. On the way back, we stopped at Katz and had lunch, and we loved it. It was very good.
Mr. Plowman.
Well, very quickly, to echo Senator Murphy's comments in regards to business, and I'll make this fast, there is a business on University that shared with me, fourth generation. He told me how he played around in the shop, you know, with his great-grandfather, and all of a sudden his market base is downtown Minneapolis and downtown St. Paul. He says, people will be able to stop, I can do my business, they can jump on the rail, go do their work. He says, you know, I've bought the lot next door just in anticipation of expanding. That's, from the business sector, something that we're looking for.
Very powerful. Mr. Shedden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just two comments. One is, if I remember right, the business owner who owns Cabs, once upon a time, prior to the line going in, was a big opponent of the Hiawatha line, and he was taken on a tour of other rail projects around the country, and came back and turned into be one of the biggest proponents. And he is tickled to death.
Mr. Chairman, that's what I said. He was an opponent. Don Mattson.
Yeah. Yep, and Mr. Chair, last thing I want to say is that the council is dedicated to working on this project. As a personal note, my wife and I had our wedding reception in the Union Depot, and I thought it was great.
All right.
Thank you and good night.
And I have one more editorial. On the subject of, you know, when Hiawatha was picked as the first line that was going to go into the metro area after Hiawatha Avenue had gotten all of its widening, I thought, well, great. You know, they're all going to be driving down Hiawatha Avenue. They're never going to ride the train. And so it really does show that it's not one or the other. That train is full. Hiawatha Avenue also has, you know, tremendous capacity, is well used, of course. So it just shows that transit is a need, regardless, you know, what we think about roads versus transit. We all need choices. So, Senator Murphy, would you like to move the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I would gladly move the Senate File 614 as amended to be recommended to be included in the bonding recommendations of the full Transportation Committee.
All right, and that implies a referral to the full Transportation Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion passes. Members, we're going to have our next transit meeting next Thursday at the regular Transportation Committee time. So at 12:30 next Thursday here in this room, we have
I just want to say thank you.
Chairman
and the members. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr.
Chair. Mr. Shedden.
Next Wednesday night, we at at the Met Council, Metro Transit are planning to take the transit subdivision out to Minnetonka for your town hall meeting. And on that tour, we will have the TV set up again to show you simulations of all the Tier 1 transit ways that we have in our 2030 vision for transit in the metropolitan area. So I will be sharing those with everyone at the committee if they're able to attend
2030, which used to be the 2020 vision, everyone. It used to be the 2020 vision. Geez. Resources. We need resources. And then we're going to have so Wednesday we have the town hall meeting, Thursday we have a regular hearing, then Friday we're going to have a hearing as well. We're going to try to get some stuff done before we have to shape up the funding bill. Anything further from the committee? We are adjourned.